It's such a pleasure to meet you all. My name is Rebbe John, and I have the pleasure and privilege of leading our global sales engineering function here at SalesLoft. I've been with the company 5+ years now, which feels like a lifetime in SaaS software years. But before that, I actually served in systems and revenue operations teams, go-to-market operations teams, just like I know so many of you serve in today. So I'm really excited, you know, because of my sympathy and empathy for the work that all of you do on a day-to-day basis, to talk about something that can and should make all of your lives easier and more effective in your day-to-day work. And that topic is artificial intelligence. No points for guessing. It was in the session title. Artificial intelligence feels like it's all anyone's talking about. If you were in the keynote, they were talking about artificial intelligence. If you were here this morning for the executive breakfast, we were talking about artificial intelligence. And there's going to be a session right after me that I believe someone's hosting on artificial intelligence as well. And so what has actually put it on this scene? Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you or anyone at your company is involved in any kind of project related to AI. So this could be how you think about building AI into your own product if you're a technology offering, if you use a vendor that has some kind of AI component. All right, a good few hands across the room. But let me ask you this, 3 years ago, right, 2-3 years ago, was your company engaged in a similar project? Were you using AI? Let me see the hands. 2, 3, 4. A wide, wide shift. So what happened? Well, a certain GPT tool that I'm sure we all are very familiar with burst on the scene, and it did so by putting the power of generative AI, a subset of you know, the field of computing that is artificial intelligence, directly in the hands of the end user, right? So the end user got to see firsthand just how powerful artificial intelligence can be and how much it's grown over the course of the last 2 to 3 years. So what this means now is that we're at an inflection point, right? Because AI is now in the limelight for so many different companies, I firmly believe there will be two categories of companies that come out of this inflection point. There will first be the companies that invest wisely and early in artificial intelligence and machine learning. And secondly, there will be the companies that either ignore it as an area of investment and thus fall behind their competition, or worse yet, they make ineffective, improper investments in artificial intelligence and thus waste resources and valuable time. And so my goal for this session today is to make sure that all of the companies that y'all represent fall into that first category. Now, we here at SalesLoft, we talk to hundreds of businesses every single week about optimizing their go-to-market strategy, and feels like over the past 6 to 9 months, every single one of those companies wants to talk about AI right from the very first call. I mean, I would estimate that for the large enterprises that we're talking to, 50%+ of those are actively making investments, hiring big data science teams, actively making investments into how they think about their own internal AI strategy that they use to solve internal business problems and answer business questions. So I want to make sure that you don't get left behind in this push for AI. So my goal for this session is that each of you walks out of here with one takeaway, right? One area that you didn't think of when it came to AI investment, one place to focus on, one business question to answer, one tactical takeaway for how you can think about artificial intelligence in your go-to-market strategy. Now, before we get into the actual use cases themselves that I'm going to describe, I first want to talk a little bit about the actual approach, because it's important that we approach AI with the right lens. Ultimately, you know, as operations professionals, I know that you're not in the business of throwing solutions at the wall to see if they stick, right? We want to start with a problem. We want to start with a question and answer that question and solve that problem. So as we go through the session today, we are going to look at this through the lens of three different questions, how AI can help in three different ways. The first question is, what accounts should I focus on and why? The second, what should I say to them? And the third, how will these conversations get me to hit my revenue goals? Really, these three questions serve as the foundation for go-to-market, right? Who do I talk to? What do I say to them? And how am I going to get to my forecast and to my revenue goals? As we go through these questions, we're going to answer them from the crawl, walk, run approach, right, that I'm sure all of you are familiar with. The crawl approach will be how you answer each of these questions today manually. And I know that at each of your companies, there is some manual methodology that you use to answer each of these questions or you wouldn't be in business. Secondly, we'll talk about the walk approach. And this is where go-to-market operations has lived in for a very long time, how we think about using automation and integration across the various technologies that you may have in your stack to drive the answers to these questions. And then finally, we'll talk about the run approach, how we leverage AI to solve these critical business questions. So let's start with the first question here. What accounts should I focus on and why? The basic concept here is not new, right? It's just prioritization. Fun fact about the word prioritization, it comes from the Latin word priority, prior, which means first, as in the first and only. The priority, singular. But I think we all know that in the context of today's environment, right, in our operations teams, we're always talking about priorities, plural. And if everything's a priority, nothing is. And nowhere is this truer than in sales and marketing. There are so many accounts to go after, right? So many accounts to prioritize, so many different activities to do on a day-to-day basis, so many different data sources that are all giving you competing information on what is the actual priority for this day. But you know this, the buying window for any given account is actually relatively small, right? If you've bought software, if you're in an operations role where you're involved in the procurement process, you know that actually purchasing a piece of software, you're only in that buying window for a short period of time. There's only a short period of time where it is realistic that you would do a deal. So how do you make sure that your go-to-market reps are served up with those accounts that are actually in the appropriate buying window and they're prioritizing that account and that specific action above everything else? That's what we're going to talk about solving. But the crawl approach here today is a nightmare for the go-to-market rep, right? Think of me as, you know, any one of your sales reps, right? Think of a sales rep that works at your company today. Think of a very specific person, right? I want everyone to have a name in their head. Think about somebody who's closer to the middle of the stack rankings on a general quarter-to-quarter basis, right? Everybody have that person that they're thinking of? Now, I'm gonna be that person, right? And I'm gonna walk through my day-to-day, right? I wake up in the morning, make myself a cup of coffee, I go through my morning routine, I make the 30-second commute to my home office, I open up my laptop, and what do I have in front of me? Information. So much information. I've got so many different things clamoring for my attention. I've got 52 unread emails that I need to respond to. I've got a couple Slack messages from my manager asking me for an update on a deal that I wish they hadn't committed to the VP for this month because I don't really think it's going to come in. I've got my web chat tool going ding, 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 telling me that there's someone on the website right now that I absolutely have to talk to. I've got intent data that's telling me that I need to focus on this account because they're currently in the buying window and they're searching for terms related to my industry. I've got so much information coming at me. So what do? Do I sit down, ingest all of the different information coming from all of these different data sources and make a prioritized list and start with the most important action and then keep going? Do I do that? If I'm your top 1, 2, 3 reps, maybe, but we're not talking about your top reps. We're talking about the majority in the middle. And the truth is that I am not prioritizing my day-to-day. I'm just working what's in front of me. I'm just going to my favorite app, whether it's email or CRM or something else, and I'm just going to work what's right in front of me. Now let's talk about the walk approach. This is somewhere where go-to-market operations teams have lived in for a very long time. Some kind of static prioritization model based on things like lead score, fit to ICP, and the like. Very common use case of this is with marketing automation. Let's say that you're a company and you've decided that manufacturing is the industry that you'd really want to target over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and you decide to build a contact form on the website to collect leads, and you've got automation set up that says anytime that a lead comes in and it's related to an account in the manufacturing industry, that lead is automatically assigned to the appropriate rep. It goes into a cadence. The first step in that cadence is an automated email that gets sent out with some light personalization based on mail merge field functionality, and then maybe the rep gets a follow-up phone call task that jumps to the top of their action queue, and now they prioritize that way, which is good. This kind of prioritization, although static, has absolutely taken us way, way ahead of the crawl manual approach that we were just describing. But let me ask you this. What happens when the market shifts? What happens when manufacturing is no longer the important industry, when the outbound engine is now the thing that we really need to focus on, right? We have to change the underlying model, and that change takes time. It steals time out of the 21 selling days that you get in a given month, and it's incredibly prone to user error. So this is where AI can help. A dynamic prioritization model based on machine learning with explainability can solve for this. It can be trained on a subset of historic data, and then as it goes, learns based on the target variable that's set for it. It can account for those subtle shifts in the market as they happen. But AI, to answer this question, is useless without one key thing. And that key thing is right up on the screen here. It's explainability. AI is already this nefarious little black box that nobody really understands. And 20 years of Terminator movies made sure that no one really trusts AI, right? So if you're going to ask a sales rep whose livelihood depends on what they do for those 21 days, selling days that they get in a month, to trust blindly what the AI model says they should focus on for today without any kind of explainability, you are going to get zero adoption. And we know that adoption is ROI. So always, 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 whether you build or buy, ensure that you have explainability built into any AI model that you think about bringing on. That's how we think about it here at SalesLoft today. We have a rhythm workflow. It's powered by our patent-pending proprietary conductor AI algorithm. There's a myriad of different factors coming in across various different pieces of the tech stack, and it ranks one prioritized action, one priority for a sales rep to focus on for the day. It's continuously learning. It accounts for the shifts in the market. And the most important thing, it has that explainability built in, right? That first task you see there, the follow-up phone call after a contract view, it's being prioritized for a few key factors. It's a high-value deal that's closing soon. There's a high level of engagement. It's in the negotiation stage. The rep knows exactly why it's being prioritized and thus develops trust in the system and in the model. And that will drive adoption. All right, now that we've figured out what accounts we should be focusing on, let's talk about what we say to those accounts. Anyone who's working in or has worked in a startup is very familiar with the crawl phase here. What do you say to an account? Whatever the heck you want. The crawl phase here is the wild, wild west. Everyone builds their own content. We all know how that movie ends. It's a surefire recipe for 100 different email templates and 100 different Google Docs, 50 different kinds of social media posts, none of which, by the way, follow your branding team's best practices and guidelines. It's just not scalable. The WOC approach, centralized content templates that are built from scratch, right? So this is, you know, the purpose of marketing automation, right? One-to-many structured messaging that goes out to your account base with some, maybe some light personalization based on mail merge fields and such. Even, you know, the sales engagement industry that SalesLoft now leads has its origins in this exact walk approach, right? A structured one-to-one cadence that a rep can execute with content templates that are built from scratch. But for anyone who's been in a role where building content was a part of the job, you know one thing about building content, and that is that building content from scratch sucks. It just sucks. Building content from scratch is not fun. I know that you have felt that feeling that I have felt sitting in front of a blank email template or a blank Word doc, and that's all you have is a blank Word doc and writer's block. And 45 minutes later, that's all you have is a blank Word doc and writer's block. Building content sucks. And that's where AI can bridge the gap by giving you a starting point for your centralized content templates. All right, this is exactly what Sunshine just used earlier today. She used GPT functionality to bring her dad jokes. And similarly, you can use GPT functionality to bring you a starting point for content in your go-to-market strategy. But there are so many pitfalls here that we have to be really, really careful. And I want to be really cautious of how I coach you to do this in your own go-to-market strategy. The first one is obvious, right? You cannot use AI and generated text just to be, you cannot use AI and generative text functionality as both your starting point and your ending point. You cannot. It is not your ending point. It needs work. It needs that human behavior processing, decision making to look over it before it's ready to go out to the field. I hope no one is doing that today, but it was a much needed call out, right? It looks very simple. You know, you just open up whatever GPT vendor you want to use, throw in your prompts, your keywords, whatever it may be, spit something out, and then immediately start using it. Nope, that is not how it works. You will not get strong results, and you will not get to a place where you're being very effective with the content templates that you're using if you just start and end with AI. But the second thing that I want to talk through today is also how we build the prompts. Think about what you're asking a generative AI model to do, right? It's been trained on an enormous, enormous subset of data, and you're asking it to carve off a minuscule, small, tiny portion of that subset of data that's relevant to what you're asking it. It can't do that if you don't supply it with the appropriate amount of context in the prompt. So as you think about building prompts when you use GPT to start your content strategy, I want you to think about three pillars. The first is you need to give the prompt a clear and unambiguous goal. Here's an example. Create an email that could be used as a first touch point in an email marketing campaign, right? Clear, unambiguous goal. Here's the second thing, give it plenty of context. Let me ask you this, would your marketing automation campaigns look different for a lead that registered after a trade show or a conference like this one versus a lead that registered via a Facebook pay-per-click ad? Absolutely, right? So give the prompt that context as well. The recipient has registered for this campaign after attending a trade show and is likely a CIO or executive IT professional at a Fortune 2000 company. And then finally, give your prompt a personality. Give it a role, right? Your brand has a very specific voice that you want to continue to develop, right? So give the prompt that voice as well. Be short but punchy. Use a friendly, professional tone that will drive urgency. And then, of course, on top of this, you'll add the keywords, the call to actions, et cetera, that are unique to what you're selling, to what your product is, right? And I can't give you those. But if you think about these three pillars, a clear, unambiguous goal, plenty of context, and a personality and a role, you'll be in a much, much better starting point with the prompts that you use with AI. We want to be really responsible of how we coach our customers to use AI. So even in the GPT functionality that exists in SalesLoft, you can see the button itself says start with AI, right? We want to emphasize it at every point that AI is a starting point. There's plenty of space to deliver a really, really thorough contextual prompt. And then finally, the button to generate also says generate AI draft, right? Not generate AI template, not generate AI email, because again, it's a draft, it's a starting point to then go execute on. All right, so now that we've talked about what accounts we should be talking to and what we should be saying to them, let's talk about how we get to our goals, AKA what is the forecast. Now, for any go-to-market operations team, this is one of your most critical responsibilities, right? A consistent, accurate forecast serves as the foundation for a strong financial model that forecasts the growth for the company over the course of the next fiscal quarter and year. But consistently inaccurate forecasting can and will cripple a business. But of all the different questions that we've talked about today, forecasting is by far the touchiest subject. Why? Because everyone has their own unique way of doing forecasting, and their forecasting methodology is their own special snowflake that they have honed and trained over years and years of their sales career. And the truth is, forecasting is absolutely a blend of both art and science. There is a level of human experience that comes with looking at hundreds and thousands, if not tens of thousands of deals over the course of someone's career, especially in a given industry, that AI just cannot replicate today. So when you think about using AI in your forecasting approach, don't look to rip and replace the art of forecasting, but instead to provide a more data-driven answer to the science of forecasting. The crawl approach here is a stuff of nightmares, right? It's a back-of-napkin math, right, that's put into a Microsoft Excel sheet or a Google sheet or maybe even literally on the back of a napkin. And there's so many problems with it, right? Obviously, the inherent assumptions, the non-standardized methodology across all of the different leaders, et cetera, the lack of explainability. But one of the biggest ones is that as soon as you write something down in that kind of static model, it's immediately out of date. Now, in the walk approach, maybe you're now starting to use some of your CRM's built-in forecasting capabilities, right? You have a static model based on stage probability, forecast category, and maybe even a run rate model too for deals that you're going to create and close within the quarter. And if you're really fancy, your run rate model accounts for the end of quarter and end of year magic that we all know and love so much. But finally, the run approach, using a machine learning model, a dynamic model based on historic win rates, deal sizes, and here's the kicker, the level of activity that you're seeing on each individual deal in your pipeline to predict and make a recommendation as to where you're going to land for the quarter, this is where it gets really good. But let me be clear, the AI forecast is, again, should be used as a recommendation, as an input into the forecast call. It does not replace the art, but it can provide a better way to do the science of forecasting. It forces intellectual honesty, because if your AI forecast and what your gut is telling you are drastically different numbers, then you need to go back and review those key deals that are going to make or break your quarter or your year or your year, and force yourself to be really intellectually honest about where those deals are and how they compare to the last closed one deal that you did last quarter and last year and the years before. With the functionality that we've built in the Sales Loft, we think about it the exact same way. There's a space for users to input their own call based on the deals that they're working, based on the experience, based on the gut feel, but then there's also the AI forecast that forces that intellectual honesty anytime that there is a drastic difference. Now, as we've gone through these three approaches, these three questions that we answered today, I hope you've picked up on a common thread that connects all of the approaches we've talked about. And if you haven't, I'll spell it out for you. It's that AI is a tool in your tool belt, right? It is not the end all and be all of your go-to-market strategy. It cannot and should not be that. The technology is just, it's not there yet. It may be there someday, but it's not there today. What it absolutely is a way for you to be more data-driven in your approach to go-to-market today. Remember the crawl, walk, run approach, and remember prioritization. We didn't cover all of the questions that AI can answer today, and you know we're innovating so fast that what I said today may be out of date 6 months from now, but the fundamental approach will not change, right? Our job is to identify what the most important business questions are, right, that we can answer that we aren't answering well with the crawl approach or the walk approach today. You can identify that one question, that one priority for your business that you can answer better with AI. That's what you need to be doing, because AI cannot do that. That is where you and I come in. But thank you so much for the time today.